Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father God, we thank you that as we come before you today concerning your word, that we will hear your word today. Those of us who have ears to hear, let us hear your word, what the Spirit of the living God is saying to us, the church. We will hear your word, Father. We'll give it the utmost scrutiny and observation and attention that it deserves. Why? Because your word is life. Your word is light. We ask that you allow your word to enter into our mind and our hearts, thereby giving us light, revelation, understanding, illumination of what the Spirit of the living God is saying to us, the church, today on this Wednesday. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're continuing our series on joy in the midst of trials. Joy in the midst of trials. And again, we'll define joy very briefly. Joy is a deep down sense of well-being, comfort and security, safety, that abides, lives in, takes residence in our heart. And it dwells in the heart of the person who knows with deep down and abiding settled assurance that all is well between themselves and the Lord. All is well between themselves and the Lord. See, nothing shakes that. Nothing shakes what God has done. Well, when I say that, let me clarify that, be more specific. Now, things can shake our belief in that, but the reality of it is that what God has done has been done and cannot be undone. What wavers is our faith in what he has done. Does that make sense? But our wavering does not undo what he has done because it cannot be undone. Sister Melanda just said that, you know, we can't put the blood back in his veins. Thank you, Jesus. Once that blood was shed, once those stripes were laid on his back, brother, it was settled, forever settled in heaven.
Thank you, Lord.
That's good news. The wrath of God has been satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. And we stand on that solid rock. So all is well. And you rest on that. You live in that. God is not angry with us in that sense. The wrath of God no longer abides over us. We're not under the wrath of God. And so we're blessed. So blessed that understanding that through being hated and ostracized and insulted and your name spoken of as evil, you can still maintain joy. Matter of fact, you can focus on the joy, meaning that you're so, all is so well between you and the Lord, and you really, really understand that when evil happens to you, you can leap and jump for joy. Because you're so focused on earthly things, or heavenly things rather. You have practiced thinking on that which is in heaven. Practice. When evil hits, when hardships come, you can still leap for joy. Because what has happened out here has nothing to do with your relationship with the Lord and his relationship with you. We got to get a hold of that. That's how we go over and over and over and over and over and over ad nauseum on purpose. And so he says, leap for joy in Luke 22. Thank you, Lord. We're going over this and then going over this and over this and over this. That our mind is being renewed. Our mind is being renewed. Our mind is being renovated. 2x4s with 12 foot nails in there. I started at 12 inch and went over to 12 footers. I mean, think about it. Think about how old we are. Even though we've been at Word of Life, some of you have been at Word of Life, for several years. What has been built up in our minds by the world, Satan, flesh, and the devil. By our desires, Satan, and our flesh. Over those years, some of them are such a stronghold. There's such a fortress that even after all these years, he still is working hard to taking the claw hammer of the Holy Ghost and the power of the Word of God to pull that rusty nail or nails out of there, 12-foot nails, because they're so deep rooted in our thinking, such as looking at our ethnicity over our status in Christ Jesus. That's a hard one for folks. Red, brown, yellow, black, or white. We see ourselves as our ethnicity first. And even though we've been preaching on this for at least 4 or 5 years, I know for some it just has not still even begun to take root. I mean, I'm not so naive as a pastor, and I say this with great disappointment, and great frustration. I know that most of us here at Word of Life still do not get the Word daily. I know that. We still don't. We hit it on Sunday, hit it on Wednesday. And if you miss either one of them, unfortunately, I believe you're not getting it at all. It's no wonder then why we struggle. Because the power is in the Word. Life is in the Word. Light is in the Word. We're not just saying it because it's a cute saying, or that's my life verse, that it is a lamp unto our feet. No, I'm trying to, we're saying because it's true, number one. And two, to plant seed. That's the light. That's what shows us where to go. You having hard times, hardships? Where are you going to go to? What else are you going to go to? That's why blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, once you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, which is to attribute the works of the Lord God Almighty to the devil, to attribute the works that have been done by the power of the Holy Spirit, to attribute them not to the Holy Spirit, but to the devil, is blasphemy, because there's not another Holy Spirit I can go get now. Once you reject that one, where else can I go? He's the one who saves. He's the efficacious power of God that enters the spirit of man, giving it life, raising the spirit from the dead. You reject that, where else can I go? You reject the word, where else can I go? Where's she going to go? We've taught twice in the 20 years on getting the word daily. Two editions. And that's been on my heart really strong like the last week. You know, I just know that you're not doing it. If you are, I'm not talking to you. It's that simple. If you are, great. Keep doing it. I'm fussing because not getting the word daily means you're getting something else daily. It's not the word. Do you really understand it? You think I'm just standing up here telling fairy tales? Remember, Satan is not, he's not getting the word. Well, let me leave him alone too. Since he's not getting the word today, then I'm not going to feed him anything that day. That's an opportunity. And every day you don't get the word, you best believe he's going to tempt you with his word. Through all kinds of mediums. TV, print media. Mouth, vocal, through other folks. And they're going to go in the ear gate, the eye gate, and the mind gate. And if you don't get the word, then you have nothing to combat that. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit. That's your only weapon. I mean, I don't know what we don't get. I'm not sure just what we don't. I don't know. And because I do love you, it's frustrating. If I didn't care about you, I'm like, whatever. But I'm not a hireling. I'm not John 10. I'm not a hireling. Somebody just hired to watch the flock, and then as soon as something happened, they run off. No, I'm in there for life. That's one reason why I didn't want to be an evangelist. I wanted to stay in with the people. I said, Lord, if you will, I'll be an evangelist, but I think you called me to be a pastor. I've always wanted to be a pastor and not an evangelist. If God called you to be an evangelist, cool. You go and you teach the people, encourage them, and then move on to the next congregation, cool. That's what you're called to do. You better do that, because then that's where God gets his glory. But he put in me wanting to be a pastor. I want to stay in there digging with the people, and it's frustrating and it's hurt and sitting up in the middle of the night staring into nothing because you heard get some more bad news about somebody else. I'd still rather do that. I'm anointed. He's anointed and equipped me to do that. You deal with it, you shed your tears, you lose your sleep, and you go to sleep the next day. But that's nothing but love. Nothing but love. I see what Apostle Paul says in a really minuscule way. You know, on top of all the beatings and the shipwrecks and left out in the deep and the night and the day, threats from my own countrymen, those strangers and friends, all that, plus daily comes the care and worries and anxieties of all the churches come upon me every day. I was telling a pastor this morning, he was asking about that. I said, man, that's welcome to pastoring. You love, and we love with the love of Christ, with the Holy Ghost, you love deeply. Can't help it. And when things don't happen right, it affects you. It does affect a real pastor. I don't take this lightly. I want to see everyone grow. My life before you is pretty transparent on purpose. Told you about the pornography from like 10 years old to 29, 19 years. Told you about us lying on an application so I can get a car. And a year later, the car was repossessed. Told you that bankruptcy, the same year the car was repossessed. Wasn't born a pastor, wasn't born a Christian. I was just a smooth operator. I looked like a Christian, but I was acting like the devil. Transparent. Now that I'm born again, I tell you, I get the word daily. I tell you that. Follow me as I follow Christ. Get the word daily. When you're thrown sideways, forget what your flesh is trying to dictate to you. Forget what your eyes are trying to dictate to you. That's loving the world for all that is in the world. It's the lusts of the flesh, or the dictates and the desires and the cravings of the flesh, and the dictates and desires and cravings of the eyes. And then the pride in your possessions. Forget, you've got to override your flesh. Amen. You really have to. I override mine, not all the time, but most of the time. My maturity in Christ Jesus is not by accident. It's work, it's sacrifice. Sacrifice of family, sacrifice of friends to walk in the things of God. Relationships that have been taken away from me, that have broken my heart, because I'm following God. Disappointments. Oh my goodness. Never forget what Bishop Keith Andre Butler over at Word of Faith said. He said, man, when you go into pastoring, you're in a fishbowl, a glass one. Meaning you can't hide in a glass fishbowl, because no matter if someone saw underneath, you can see underneath it and all the sides and in the top. There's nowhere to hide. He said, but you got a bullseye on your front and a bigger one on your back. People talk behind your back. People misunderstand you. Don't come to you to clear up anything. I've told you, people just leave the church. That is heartbreaking to a real pastor. Like, wow, give me a chance to explain what happened. You interpreted something that I did, which was an incorrect interpretation, and you just left the whole church. That's immature. That's being immature. The word is what grows you. Desire the sincere, true, real, genuine milk of the word that you may grow thereby. He said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge. When I came out of the pulpit in 89, he sat me down, sit your raggedy self down and take my, what he said was, take my yoke upon you and learn of me because you don't know me. Gregory Thomas Harris, you don't know me. Why was you in that pulpit? You don't know me. So sit down and learn. And that indictment is to few of you in here. You don't know him. Because you're not doing what you need to do to know him. You need to step up. Don't think, well, he's the pastor. He's got to do that. And you know there's raggedy pastors out there. Am I right? Raggedy pastors out there. You know that. Being a pastor doesn't automatically mean you're living a holy life. Are you kidding me? You must be disciplined. You must constantly put your flesh under. Pastors are on the front line. And if you dare to teach the word of God uncompromisingly, if you dare to call abortion murder, if you dare to call homosexuality sin, if you dare to call this gender mess, then you're on the front of the front lines. That's why I keep telling y'all, keep me in your prayers. Because I will not, by the grace of Almighty God, back up, back down, give up, give out, or give in. In Jesus' name. We're going to keep teaching the word of God. The South African civil rights activist, Stephen Biko, he took Captain De Wet. He was arrested by white South African policemen. And Captain De Wet was a man known of violence. Biko said, I don't advocate violence, De Wet. He said, you can beat me or jail me or even kill me, but I'm not going to be what you want me to be. And I often think about that. I'm not going to be what you want me to be, Satan. Do whatever you want. I'm not compromising this. And if I walked away from 50 grand times 20, that's over $1 million I walked away from, you can best believe nothing else going, because you need money going to have everybody. You best believe you ain't get me with another less than that. Sex going to be the next thing. So I got to really watch my mind on that, like I keep telling you. If you're not filling your mind with the word, it's being filled with something else. Can you please understand that? We've been telling this for years and we still just sitting around, and I believe this is the Lord showing me you. I don't just wake up one day and say, oh, I'm going to fuss at the church. I'm trying to start the sermon. But I believe the Holy Ghost wants us to come higher. Please listen to me. When will we listen? Jesus said, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe. Is that us? Oh, foolish Galatians, who has tricked you? Is that us? Do you believe I'm teaching you the word of God on a daily? As my students who didn't know how to speak correct English, oh, probably acting silly. What the problem is? What is the problem? I know what it is. It's the love of the world. What we feel like doing. Remember, all that's in the world is a lust of the flesh, what your flesh wants to do, what your eyes, lust of the eyes, what they see, and then the pride in your possessions. We still let that dominate us. And the first one is really a killer. And I think the order is on purpose, because the thing that kills us with our walk with the Lord is the lust of our flesh. Lust means your desires, your dictates, your cravings, whatever your flesh wants to do, you just give in and do it. And when your flesh doesn't want to listen to the word, you don't listen to the word. I was praying to the Lord. I said, Lord, I really want that Jeremiah anointing, desire. I found your word and I ate it. Found me what you're seeking. Jesus said, Matthew 7, seeking you shall find. Matthew 5, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you will be filled. Are you hungry for it? Are you thirsting for it? As a deer panting for water in the water brooks where there is no water, like a desert land? Are we panting for it because we want it so badly? Do we rejoice in his word, Psalm 119, as much as in all riches? Have you ever just thought about that verse? All riches. You got billions of dollars. You make $1 million every hour. You're so rich. By the end of the day, you make $24 million a day. And yet and still, the great psalmist under the office of the Holy Ghost said, I rejoice in your word as much as in all riches. We ain't nowhere near that. We get a job, we buy. I'll make it to church when I can. Man, jobs have just, it have just done so much damage. Somebody coming to church, you know, because they want to, you know, come on to church and get with God, and maybe they couldn't find a job, so they in church all the time. And then, hey, I got a job. I don't do it in front of them, but in my heart, I drop it. My whole countenance just drops. Because you just got the job, then more than likely, you're going to get the shifts that don't nobody else want, and that is your weekends and your evenings and all that. The shift that don't nobody take because you got to work your way up. And they go to church. Bye-bye. See you, Jesus. Appreciate what you did for me, cuz. Deuces up to Nipsey. How do we treat them? We love them and leave them. You prostitute Jesus. Treat them just like a prostitute. Get yours. Move on down the line. When it ought to be, man, bump that job. That job ain't gonna give me no joy. It may bring some temporary happiness for a hot second, but joy, that's only in his word. Peace only comes from the peacemaker, from the Prince of Peace. Yeah. Forget a job. And again, look at the dude standing in front of you, walked away from mine for the sake of the kingdom. So I'm not just, well, you ain't never had to. Yes, I did. And did it gladly. You tell probably 90% of Christians that if you're going to have you're going to go from a $50,000 a year down to about $9,000 or $10,000. Most folks are not going to take that proposition. But you're going to do it in Jesus' name for the sake of the kingdom. I'm good. Yeah, I'll let you later. Yeah, what if I did that? I've been very miserable. Word of life doesn't start. Shudder to think of that. I wonder what my marriage would be like. He took a deep Sister Melania said, oh, I shudder to think of that. Seriously, what would Brooke and Brianna would? All because of a few dollars. Really? You want to mess up your daughters? Mess up your just beautiful queen over here for a few extra dollars? You got that right? Man, work at McDonald's. I ain't working there. My friends coming to see me up at McDonald's. Man, that ain't finna happen. Take your raggedy self over there, flip some burgers, and get to church. Live in a shack. Is he really Lord? We just don't understand that. He said it in Luke 14:25, great crowds were following him. And he turns and says to this, big old crowd. Historians tell us maybe as many as 10, maybe 20,000 was following Jesus. He turned and said to this big crowd, thinking about following me, you got to love me more than mother, father, sister, brother, wife, children, and even your own self. If you can't do that, you cannot be my disciple. Meaning you can't be saved, because all who are saved are a disciple. So before you think about, and notice how he said, you follow me. Now, they were following him physically. He's saying, I'm going to turn this spiritual. Y'all just follow me. Y'all seeking some bread because I done fed 5,000 tuna with a piece of bread and some fish. And y'all want some food. You want to see some miracles. You just follow it. If you really want to follow, let me give you an invitation. You got to love me more than your closest relationships. Which nowadays, unfortunately, is not no longer family. Just some dude from third grade or some cat off the street. Because both of y'all get high together, you know. Whatever, whoever your closest, best friend, your road dog, your homie, homie, or homette. Jesus saying, whoever you love and is the closest to, you got to love me more than that. And not only that, your love for me is supposed to be so in depth and mighty that when compared to your love for your friend, it looks like hate. That I ain't through with you. Secondly, you got to be willing to take up the cross and follow me. Cross to a Jew meant one thing, torture and death, period. A gas chamber to the American or the European, you don't think of nothing else but death. Lethal injection, death. The gurney, lethal gurney, death. Electric chair, death. That's what the cross was to them. Now, we've romanticized it. Oh, my mother-in-law, that's my cross to bear. Oh, a bad job, that's my cross to bear. Torture and death. Jesus said you must be willing to be tortured, you must be willing to suffer and die for me if I require it. And I got the right to ask you to do it. And then thirdly, you must be willing to give up everything you have. Everything you have. If I should ask you. Then you go to Romans 10:9 and confess Jesus as your Lord. And that's what I get so exercised about. These doggone churches giving these old light weak altar calls. How many want to miss out on hell and make heaven your home? Man, yeah. I done had sex with 10 girls the night before, smoked a pound of meth. I don't even come in a pound. It might be liquid. A gallon of it. I don't know. Whatever it is. And I'm in church the next day. Yeah, I'm going to raise my hand on something as weak as that. I want to miss out on hell to make heaven my home. I've actually heard those altar calls. Yeah, I'm going to raise my hand. But when you go to Luke 14 first, and say you must be willing to give up all your friends, torture, be suffered, and give up your life and all your possessions. Now come on down. Come on. Come on. Raise your hand. Come on down. Who's coming? So far, nobody. Yeah, I don't see no hands. God don't see no hands right there. I don't see nothing. Turn the lights back up because ain't nobody coming. That's a real invitation. And then the one person who can come up, you best believe God probably work on that person for real. And he can say, I confess with my mouth and agree with God that Jesus is my Lord. Because I heard you, preacher. I'm willing to give up my best friends. I'm willing to give up my life. I'm willing to give up all my possessions. Because only God can make you do that. Yeah. That's why folk ain't saved, Sister Johanna. That's why. You don't hear that in the altar call. You hear what is known as easy believism. Just believe in your heart. Say with your mouth. Just believe. You don't have to give up nothing. You don't have to change nothing or repent of nothing or anything. Just believe. That's why I got churches full of unbelievers. Starting in the pulpit. Unbelievers. That's why one lady left our church. She flat out told me, sermon after sermon, she kept saying, every time you preach, I just feel like I'm unsaved. That means I'm doing something right. Because the word ought to convict. It ought to convict. That's what the Holy Ghost does. So when he comes, John 15 or 16, he will convict the world of sin. That's what he's supposed to do. We need to re-examine our recurrent relationship with God. We need to take a real Holy Ghost peek inside of our hearts. Mm-hmm. How real, Father God, is my relationship with you? Because I know the most subtle beast of the field can trick me into thinking that it's solid and good. But in your eye, it may be garbage. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm your child and everything, but how close am I really to you? Because see, right now everything is theory. No, remember we're talking, I'm close to God, I think, you know. I mean, I believe in God, I guess. Doctors informed you suddenly in late July that your mother has had some complications. It's not looking good, suddenly. What are you gonna do with that? There's no warning. There's no warning. Hey, this is about to happen in 2 months. No, none of that. It's sudden. I just heard Mama's voice about 8:30 in the morning because my daughter Brookie was going to the ninth grade. Back then, remember Nextel had the little chirpy things? Yeah. Grandma, how you feeling? Last words. Oh, baby, I'm feeling fine. Those are the last words. We don't know that's going to be the last word I would ever hear her say. You better know that you know that you know that you know that you know that I'm tight with God, that all is real, and I know that. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get to know God like you need to know him. I'm not going to get him like I need to know him. We're not get to know like we need to know him apart from obedience to his word and meditating his word. I mean, is this new, Miss April? We've been ad nauseum talking about this. And yet we still aren't doing it. You must be consistent. Follow my lead, please. I listen to the word all night. I listen to the word when I go to sleep. Thank God, because when I started about 15 years ago, putting the word in and going to sleep, I would take it out and fall on to sleep. But now it can play it all night. So if I turn over, I'm hearing the word. I go to sleep, listen to the word, and I wake up, listen to the word. And when I turn over, I'm listening to the word. I do that basically every night. And I'm not showing off. I'm telling you practical stuff. Get that word at all costs. You leave job, mother, father, sister, brother. We've been taught that a job is like everything. Mm-hmm. We'll leave whole states and move and uproot everything because I got me a better paying job over in Arkansas. You don't do any investigation? Well, God, are you sending me there? Am I supposed to lead this church? I mean, do they have a church like this over there? The church ought to be a top priority, not the job. Because if I leave this church here where I know I'm being fed, it's a healthy church. They're teaching us the word. It's rough at times, but rather to have it, you know, had a rough rather than fluff and whipped cream. Right. And if I can't find a word church over there that's healthy where I can grow, bump the job. The job is not supposed to dictate. It's supposed to be the God of who's your Lord. It's supposed to be dictating. That's how you make decisions. Yeah. Oh, Father God, I just ask you to just help us just believe you. You tell us your word is a lamp, and we act like it's not. Yeah. We letting politics, Republicans, Democrats, Black Lives Matter, ethnic unrest, ethnic hatred, political this and that. There's all kind of things floating out there, just letting it dominate our thinking. I'm not talking about just enter in, but just dominate our thinking. Dominate it. Shame on us. Shame on us. Especially those of us who know the word of God. Shame on us. Turn that mess off. Turn the word on. My flesh don't feel like it. Bust that flesh up in the head. Bust him up. He may forget you. If you got to say it out loud, Miss Darlene. Flesh, you act like you're talking to your flesh. Right out here, do what you got to do. He looking crazy. I don't care. Flesh, you crazy. I ain't listening to you. Crank the word. Quote the word. Speak the word. Meditate the word. How many weapons you got? How many weapons we have spiritually?
One.
Thank you. And what is it? The word. I mean, how simple is that? You can't go get another weapon. I'm going to get a gun. There's no spiritual gun. It's the word. You have one weapon, the word of God. If you don't pick that up, how are you going to fight? And we're in a fight. We're in a war all the time. Don't we not preach this? What's going on? It's Private Ryan. The intense part of the movie is for a half hour. But for us, that's life. Yes. Whether we understand it or not. Right. And if you're not getting it daily, guess what else you're not doing? You're not storing it up in your heart in abundance. Because you can't if you're not getting it to store it up. Storing, I mean, you're getting it and getting it and getting it and receiving it and meditating it and understanding it and obeying it, and that stores it up. That deposits it. See, we didn't deposit, we do all these withdrawals because the next 10 days we don't do anything with it. We don't meditate on it, we don't think on it, we do nothing. And so that withdrawal, Satan says, oh, you come and snatch it, snatch it, snatch it, snatch it. I don't understand that. Why? You said that? Why? I never heard that. You never heard that. Dude, I'm going to lose all my preachership. I'm losing all my Christianity on you because I'm about to knock the fool out of you. You know you're lying. But what it is because it never took root because you didn't meditate on it. It's like you never heard it. You walk around here thinking, and this is key, you're thinking as mere unchanged men because it's the thoughts. It's your thought life that's messed up, looking just like the world. And he commanded us, do not be conformed to the world. You're looking and sounding and thinking and rationalizing just like the world, as if you've never been saved. That's so frustrating with me. So one of the things that's so frustrating with me. Etta James had a song that said, I'd rather be blind than to see you with another girl. So I'd rather be blind. I don't even want to see it. I wish the church would say, I'd rather be broke than have a job with plenty of money. I'd rather be broke and be up in here getting your word rather than my pockets filled and I only can come whenever I can on an off day or whatever. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That's the verse that the Lord told me that to name the church after that. The words that I speak are life. I'm like, wow, how powerful is that? They give life. They produce life. They are life. Hebrews 4:12, it's a living word. Quick in the King James means it's a living word. It's a living word spiritually. There's a spiritual heartbeat to the word. It's living. Father, thank you for fussing at us. You do it because you love us. You care for us deeply as I care for your people. You care a billion times deeper. I just pray that we surrender to abandon ourselves entirely to your will. Mm-hmm. Just absolutely abandon ourselves. That we put our whole life at your disposal. You are, as Calvin called you, our kind Father.
Yes, you are.
Father God, that's why you got to put hardships on us. That's why. Because we get comfortable. But hardships drive us to you.
Yes, they do.
When you take away everything, or a lot of things, or comfortable things, or get us out of our comfort zone, here we come. Yeah, here we come. As my papa will say, like Leaping Dan. Here we come. Right where we need to be. Here in your presence. My dear sister, April Lou Caldwell, the first, has prayed it many times. Lord, if you need to, take it away from us. Give us loss for gain. Be like Job. You gain. But if you need to, take it away. Take it away. Because it's hindering us from worshiping you. I have never prayed this, but I'm going to pray every person up in that goat that attends Word of Life that's supposed to be here, if their job is causing them, I ask you to take away every single job from every single person who's made their job their God, their Lord. Take it away and force them here so that they may get the pure milk of the word and grow for real, as a result. And I ain't backing off of it. In Jesus' name, amen.